right, let's jump back into life 101. All right, let's take some review. We've looked so far at three different lessons when it comes to wisdom and Proverbs. First, we looked at listening. Tell me, what does a foolish person do in terms of listening?
He doesn't do it.
Doesn't do it.
He thinks he's smarter than everybody and doesn't take advice.
Good. All right. What about the wise person? How do they approach listening?
They'll do it.
They'll do it. Yeah.
They know they're not always right, so they listen to advice.
Absolutely. So you're saying that wise doesn't mean you know everything? Wisdom doesn't mean you know everything, right? Yeah. Wisdom is actually knowing that you don't. And listening and learning and taking even rebuke and criticism as a way to grow. We looked at speech. How much does the foolish person talk?
A lot.
A lot. All right. What does the wise person do before they speak?
They think.
Can anyone remember the questions that we ask before we say things?
Yep. How do I say it?
Yeah, so true, right? Yeah, what is it true? Is it the right time? And how am I saying this? Am I saying this in love? Good. Last time, so 2 weeks ago, last week was hurricane week. The week before that, we looked at work and laziness, right? And like I said, that was a convicting one for me. We looked at the sluggard, the guy who just, you know, has no motivation to do anything. While the wise person is diligent and focused. And today, we're going to look at fighting 101. Now, this isn't going to be teaching you how to fight, all right? No sparring or anything like that. Although we do have two martial arts people in this room. We've got Adam and we've got Abel. Should we have them kind of face off?
Yes.
What do you do, Adam?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo versus jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see which strategy wins, you know? Yeah, here we go. All right, so we're not going to be looking at how to fight. In the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about strife and things that instigate quarreling, arguments, fighting, strife. Yes. An example of fighting and strife? Like, you want someone to get up and, like, have an argument?
There we go.
All right. All right, question. What topic are you most likely to get in an argument about? Raise your hand, tell me. Yes.
Something I know a lot about.
Okay, yeah, so it's kind of something you know a lot about. Oh, yeah, you'll argue about that. Elijah.
If I think I'm right.
If you think you're right, yeah.
I'm not sure
raise their
hand to that.
Yeah, sure. Yes, Josie.
Probably something really stupid.
What's that?
Probably something really stupid.
We do pick really stupid things to argue about. Yeah.
McKenna.
If it's about McKenna?
No, I argue with her.
Oh, you argue with McKenna. Okay. All right. What else? Anyone else say, if this topic comes up, man, yeah, I got to hold myself back because I can get into it real easy. Anything like that?
Politics.
Politics, yeah.
Amen, I can talk.
Music. Music, yep. All right, now on a more serious, what issues or topics are most likely to get you into a fight with someone?
A literal fight?
Like, not like a fist fight, but like an angry... Like a heated argument.
If they're talking bad about my friends.
Okay, yeah. So if you're trying to defend somebody, right? Absolutely.
Your family.
Your family. Yeah.
Politics.
There's never any heated arguments about politics. What are you talking about? Absolutely. All the time. Yeah. Your pride. Yeah.
Basically, anytime I tell my brother to clean his room.
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah.
Inconsiderate people.
For me, it's when you're in a drive-thru line at a fast food restaurant and the person just is going way too slow. Or the line moves up and they don't.
Or
they're sitting at the drive-thru ordering and it takes them 2 years to order. It's like, you had this whole time in line to figure out what you wanted.
To your manager.
Inconsiderate. Inconsiderate, yeah. Abel, you're always starving.
I was starving.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. I had breakfast lunch.
Yeah.
We were going for dinner. I had the guy in the front took 15 minutes.
Oh.
The guy took 10 minutes. Then I after that took another 15 minutes.
And then it was our turn.
And then Abel ordered the entire menu. All right. So all of our lives are filled with moments where, you know, things get heated, right? Maybe you look at your life and you can point to a lot of situations where things get really too heated. Strife, quarreling, fights. Where does that come from? And how does the foolish person deal with that versus how does a wise person deal with quarreling and fighting and strife in our lives? It could be in our families. It could be with our friends. It could be here at church or at school. How do we deal with strife, with fighting in our lives according to God's word? And as always, we want to start with beginning with the fear of the Lord. The proverb says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't start with our relationship with God, then all we're talking about tonight is just moralistic, you know, rules that we can apply to our lives, and there's nothing specifically Christian about it. When it comes to fighting, strife, arguments, can someone tell me if we have a fear of God, how could that impact how we approach strife and fighting in our lives? That's good. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Go ahead, Mr. B.
I was going to say, understanding that God is like the sovereign judge of all things, mm-hmm. and so like we don't need to be, and a lot of times we want to like be that, like,
yeah.
for and judge other people in that way.
Mm-hmm.
God's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? How would the fear of the Lord impact how we might approach quarreling, strife in our lives, Adam?
Mm-hmm. But Taekwondo fact here, there's this thing called the five tenets of Taekwondo.
Uh-huh.
And I think the first one is courtesy, because whenever you're in a situation that could end up in a fight, you're supposed to start with courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically being kind, trying to avoid the fight.
Yeah.
The best way to win a fight is to not have it. All right.
There we go.
And then there's integrity, which is doing the right thing. Courtesy, integrity, perseverance. And then it gets into the more, you know, okay, we're starting to be in trouble, perseverance, you know, not stopping the courtesy and integrity.
Yeah.
Continuing. And then there's, in the end, I think, is indomitable spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you do get in the fight, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and well, I mean, when we talk about a relationship with Christ, you know, how did Jesus himself approach this, right? When he was reviled, he reviled not again, the Bible says. When he was mocked, he opened not his mouth. There's countless times when Jesus was falsely accused, when his followers were falsely accused, his friends were falsely accused, and he approached that with kindness, with courtesy, with self-control. A couple of passages that speak to the root of this. James 4, 1 and 2, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So what's James saying? He's saying, where does every fight and quarrel come from? It's from something that you want on the inside. Pick any fight and just ask yourself, okay, what is it that I'm wanting that is producing this argument in this fight? All right? Fights and arguments come from a war on the inside. And if you're fighting and arguing, in a way you could say you aren't really trusting the Lord, because you're acting like it's all up to you. Now, I'm not saying there's never a place for confrontation or serious words or straightforward words. Sometimes those are appropriate. But when we talk about strife, when we talk about hateful or angry arguments and strife, then what does that show? It shows, as Mr. B pointed out, I'm not entrusting my soul to a faithful creator. As Jesus did when he was going to the cross, he didn't revile, but he entrusted his soul to a faithful creator. I'm not entrusting my soul to him. I'm acting as if it's all up to me. And if I don't fight for this, I won't get it. So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the book of Proverbs and see what causes strife. Because Proverbs gives us a lot of starting points where strife comes from. And so we're going to identify these so that we can avoid strife before it hits, right? It's really hard to avoid it when you're in it, right? But if we can know what leads to strife and avoid those things, then we're in good shape. So what leads to strife? That's fire, okay?
That's
thank you, yes. Alberto was doodling on the chalkboard. So what leads to strife? We're going to look at a few proverbs. First of all, this is kind of an obvious one. Hatred leads to strife. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. What is hatred? Hatred is really to see someone else as the enemy who needs to be opposed, rather than someone in the image of God that needs to be loved. If you hate someone, if you have no regard for someone else's well-being, if there's someone in your life where you think, I could care less about that person, I could care less about their success or their happiness or their growth in Christ, then that's pretty close to saying, I hate that person. I could care less if that person were around. And if that's your heart toward any one person, what's it going to do? It's going to stir up. It's going to provoke strife and arguments and contentions. This mindset awakens fighting. Because what does it do when we act this way toward others? It makes other people defensive, doesn't it? Because when you're hateful, you're on the attack. You're attacking others, and that causes other people to be defensive, and so they attack back, and strife is created. And if there's someone in your life that, if you're honest, right, you actually have a hatred toward, I'm going to guess that there's going to be some fights, arguments, quarrels, either with them or about them with others. And this would definitely be, you know, the most strongest, most serious source of strife, when there's hatred in your hearts. And this just isn't compatible with someone who's in Christ, someone who's been saved, someone who has been set free from our own sin, that we might turn to our brother and sister in Christ and have hatred toward them. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. That even the Gentiles can love those who do good to them. I mean, that's easy. Love those that are nice to you, that are kind, no problem. But what shows the mark of a Christian is someone who actually has love toward those who hate them. So hatred is a source of strife. What else does Proverbs say? Quick tempers are a source of strife. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. You know, sometimes strife and fighting just comes from having a short fuse. You know what it means to have a short fuse? You get angry really easily. It doesn't take much for you to draw out a reaction from you. If you tend to fly off the handle easily, right, or lose your cool, where people kind of feel like they're, you know, walking on eggshells around you because they don't want you to lash out, there's a good chance that your life is full of a lot more fighting and arguing. When your life is full of arguments and fighting, before you blame those around you, check to see how patient you are with your temper. And if you're the one who gets angry quickly, then you might be the one who is stirring up the strife. Right? Even when there's a legitimate problem, you know, there's an offense. Maybe someone has offended you, right? If you're quick to respond, if you're quick to react, if you have a short fuse, that's what stirs up the strife. But on the other side, what's the opposite of that? One who's slow to anger, what does he do? He quiets the contention. He lowers the temperature, right? So quick temper can lead to strife. Here's one. Gossip leads to strife. Gossip leads to strife. Check out these verses. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. When you see whisperer in Proverbs, that's talking about a gossiper, someone who's whispering, you know, little nuggets of gossip about someone else.
Did you hear what Carol did?
Exactly. Tell me later. I want to know. Yeah. So a dishonest man spreads strife. A whisperer separates close friends. Here's another verse in Proverbs. For a lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there's no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As to charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, not fur, sorry, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling fire. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. Some really vivid imagery here. Where they said, if you don't have any wood to fuel a fire, the fire will eventually die. And just like that, A whisperer, a gossiper, is like fuel to the fire. And if you remove the fuel, you remove the quarreling. Where there's no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And it's like kindling. It adds fuel to the fire. Gossip is like tossing a grenade into a perfectly happy and peaceful situation. It's like adding fuel to the fire. And it's, let's be honest, I mean, it's fun to talk about other people, isn't it? Right? Right?
I know I say it.
It is. It's fun to talk about other people. I know it happens, right?
And other people is just so silly.
No, I hate it when other people gossip. Those other people that gossip out there. You know, can you believe so-and-so? Did you hear what she said? Man, I just can't stand him. The other day he said this to me. Right? Proverbs 26:22 says they're like delicious morsels that just go down to the innermost parts of the belly. But boy, do they create drama. Right? They create drama. They create fightings. They create quarrels. And what does Proverbs 20, verse 22 say? If you remove the gossiper, you remove the conflict. Just take that gossiper, that whisperer, remove them from the situation. All of a sudden, things just cool down real quick. Don't be a gossiper. Don't be a whisperer. We saw in the previous verse, what does gossiping do? Look at that second line. What does it do? Separates close friends. Have you ever seen gossip destroy a friendship? When something that is being said about you gets around, and then it finally gets around to you, and you realize who it came from, does that help relationships very much?
No,
not at all. It's a source of strife. Don't be the whisperer. Don't be the one that spreads these things about other people. It's tempting because it's fun to do. It makes ourselves look better. It puts us in a position where we can get other people to like us more by putting down others. But it only leads to strife. It destroys relationships. So gossip is a source of strife. A more direct source would be mocking. Mocking. Or you could even say bullying, right? Proverbs 22, verse 10 says, "Drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out. Quarreling and abuse will cease." So this is the mocker, the scorner. Strife, arguments, and fights follow the mocker around. This is the person who puts others down. While the gossiper, the whisperer, might, you know, put others down behind their backs to other people, whispering. What does the mocker do? They put people down to their face. They like making fun of people, jabbing people to make them feel smaller. This person is full of insults. And just like the gossiper, if you remove the mocker, the bully, the scoffer from the crowd, what happens? Strife goes out too. And quarreling goes away. And abuse goes away. All those things leave with the one who is a mocker. If you're always finding something or someone to mock and insult, most likely there's a lot of drama and conflict that follows you around. It leads to strife. And so many times we can these things can be true of our life: hatred, quick temper, gossip, and mocking. And then we step back and we're like, why is my life so full of drama? Why do I have so much contention? Why are there so much fights going on? And we don't even connect the dots. Oh man, I have a real short temper. Man, I gossip about a lot of people, and that's led to some strife. I even mock. I make fun of people openly. All of these things are leading to strife. One more, or second to last one here. Greed leads to strife. Proverbs 28:25 says, "A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched." This reminds me of what James 4 says, that fighting and quarreling comes from the passions in our hearts. What we want, when we really want something, what are we willing? If there's something we really want, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get that thing. If you're consumed by greed, you'll provoke anger from others as you get what you want from whomever you want. Greed cares little about other people's feelings. It only wants fulfillment at all costs. Right? So maybe the strife and the contention in your life is simply due to you wanting something really badly. And when you don't get it, you either lash out, or you fight, or you quarrel, because that other person is in the way of what you want, of what you're desiring in your life. But what's the opposite here? The one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. A greedy person, by nature, is someone who is not trusting in the Lord, because they are living their life with this drive to get, never content, never at peace, because they're not trusting in a good and faithful God. So greed leads to strife. And then finally, one more. Again, this is similar. This is in a way, maybe you say, duh. But again, this is another one that Proverbs points to. Anger leads to strife. Makes sense? Proverbs 28:25, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. We see here someone who's given to anger. I mean, do you know anybody who's given to anger? Don't gossip about them. You know, just think about it. Someone given to anger. Maybe you can say, you know what, sometimes I'm given to anger. This is someone who's owned by it, identified by it. This is, they are an angry person. Right? And maybe you would, if you were to ask that angry person, why are you angry? They might point to hurts, to trials, to things that didn't go their way in life that have provoked an angry response. Right? Life has made them angry. But that's the wonderful healing power of the gospel. That God can take our difficult lives, our trials, our struggles that have been done to us, and as the Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel does. If you don't have God, of course you're going to get angry with life. Absolutely you will. And if you're given to anger, man, strife is going to follow you around. So here is our sources of strife. Anger, greed, mocking, gossip, quick temper, hatred. Maybe you might even add more to that list. But all these things are sources of strife. So look for those things in your life. Instead of sitting back and kind of scratching your head, be like, man, why are there so many fights and arguments and following me around? Ask yourself if any of these things might be the source of those things in your own life. Let's look really quickly at what does quarreling do? What's the result? Two simple ones. One I already alluded to earlier, but it does ruin relationships in a major way. Look at Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling like the bars of a castle. What does strife, arguments, and quarrelings do? It creates walls between people. When you're constantly fighting and arguing, others will become more and more defensive, and they'll build walls, like strong, thick castle walls.
That would take a while.
It would take a while, absolutely. But over time, that's what this does. And it might just be brick by brick, right? One argument, one brick. Second argument, another brick. And then over months and months, those bricks pile on top of each other to form a big, giant wall in that relationship. And it says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Before you allow yourself to be given over to strife and arguments, ask yourself, how is it going to jeopardize the relationships in my life? It can be really hard, though it's not impossible, to restore a relationship that's been deeply damaged by strife and fighting. Again, it's not impossible. That's what the power of the gospel does. But it makes it difficult. It can ruin relationships. And secondly, it gets out of control. Strife gets out of control. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit the quarrel before it breaks out. It's like letting out water. You guys know the story of the little girl who put her finger in the dike? Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Oops, I spilled my water.
I've got like two people, three.
I'm thinking of like there's a whole lot of covers.
Yeah, all right. It's a classic story, yeah. So there's a story, and I don't know the whole plot, but the basic idea is this little girl is walking along. She's like in what country is that?
Ireland, Scotland.
Dutch. Where do Dutch people live? The Netherlands? The Netherlands, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, they have these cities that were surrounded by like these dikes holding back water, all right? Like these big walls, right? And one time this girl's walking along and she sees a little hole in the dike, right? And the danger of that, what do you think would happen if you let water come out through a tiny hole with a bunch of water behind it? What eventually will happen? Right? That hole will get bigger and bigger and cracks will form and pretty soon it's a tsunami. It's just a tidal wave of water just from that one little tiny hole in the wall. And so in the story, this little girl sticks her finger in the hole and saves the town or something like that.
You have to hold it for a little
bit. Yeah, she's holding this, staying there for forever. It's been a long time since I've read it. Oh, was it? Okay. All right, so it's a really vivid picture for what strife and arguments do. Starts out small, and pretty soon it gets out of hand. Have you ever been in a fight, like in a quarrel, and you're arguing about something, and then later on in the argument, you're arguing about something that's totally, like, not even connected, right? And it's like, this led to this thing, which reminded you of what they did that one other time, and then, hey, what about this, you know? And all of a sudden, it's just like, this tidal wave of strife just comes your way. Because that's what anger does. That's what strife does. It starts out small and you think it's manageable, but all of a sudden it gets really out of hand because what's driving it? It's our selfishness. It's our anger. And those are uncontrollable emotions and they can overcome a situation. So what does the proverb say? So quit the quarrel before the quarrel breaks out. Just don't let it start, right? So what's the solution? What does Proverbs give us as an alternative? What does the wise person do to approach quarreling and strife? Well, obviously, I think, hopefully we think of this. Number one, love. Love. Proverbs 10:12, going back to that verse, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers offenses. You know, hatred has no reason to settle a disagreement or overlook an offense. But a heart of love values that person most of all. And so sometimes a loving heart will be willing even to overlook an offense against you for the sake of serving that other person. Love covers all offenses. Whether that's forgiving someone or simply overlooking something, love stops strife. Right? Think about this. How would a love for your parents change how you interact with them? Or your siblings, or that person in your class that you really just can't stand very much. Can you love them? What about when you're supposed to love someone you just don't really like? Do we really have to do that? I mean, come on.
Jesus did it.
What does God expect of us? To love someone we don't like. Yeah, Jesus said, love your enemies. Love the person who hates you. Yeah.
I put my sister too.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. Yeah, everyone, right? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Love them like Jesus loves them. Love them like Jesus loved you. Proverbs gives us the instruction of patience. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. In other words, the wise person will not act impulsively. And we see that with the fool in everything we've learned up to this point, right? Whether it's listening or talking or laziness, everything's impulsive, right? Whatever I feel like in the moment, I'm just going to do it. Whether that's talking too much or not listening or I feel like sitting around and being lazy, so I'm just going to do it, right? Everything's impulse. And it's the same thing with quarreling and strife. If I'm hot-tempered, it's impulse. But the one who trusts in the Lord, one who fears the Lord, is slow to anger. And again, you may ask, well, where do you find the strength to show patience to others? The best thing for me in this has been considering Christ's patience toward me. You know, I've had relationships in college and beyond that have really tested my patience. Where you know, people have offended me, hurt me, and there's been times over and over again where I've asked, okay, like, I'm done. I'm just done with this guy, right? I'm just gonna forget this guy. Leave him alone. Patience. What keeps me patient? Looking back and saying, wow, Jesus, you were super, super patient with me. Third, overlooking an offense sometimes is a solution. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. You know, while there's some offenses that can be confronted and must be confronted, other offenses can be simply overlooked. For the sake of love and patience, I can let that go, right? I can let it go. Sometimes it's just avoiding quarrelsome people. Just if that whisperer or that scoffer or that mocker is there, like it says, drive out the scoffer and strife will go out and quarreling and abuse will cease. If you surround yourself with quarrelsome, strife-filled friends, it's probably going to rub off on you. Sometimes it's just a matter of picking the right friends. Ultimately, though, as we saw earlier in one of our Proverbs, trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 28:25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. I think of Romans 12, verses 14 through 19. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. When we approach people with wrath, with anger, how's your water bottles doing over there, guys? Keeping it in the water bottle. If you're living with wrath, with anger, what are you doing? You're trying to take God's role of justice for yourself. You're saying, I assume that role. I want to be the God of justice in my life. And I'm going to execute justice on everyone else. You're basically saying, God, I don't think you can do it. I'm going to do it. What does this verse say? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You trust the Lord. He is the just one. James 1, 19 through 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So this is fighting 101. Again, not to teach you how to fight, but hopefully to help you avoid strife in conflict in your life. And we've seen the sources of where it might come from. So examine your own life. See where strife might be sourced in your own heart. And ask God for his grace to help you stay away from strife. Stay away from conflict, the sinful conflict, based off of our own selfishness and pride. Any comments, questions, profound statements? Yeah. What's that? This right here, leave it up for a little bit? Yeah, absolutely. Yes?
Can I keep the Googling ads over there?
No. You broke Greg, Addie.
Actually,
you don't. Oh.
Yeah, it was.
Let's have a fight about this.
Strife. Okay,
let's strife. Guys, strife.
Calm down.
Strife. There we go. There's our illustration. Here's our illustration. What happens when someone destroys Greg? And you just... Yes. I started it? How did I start it? Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. I started that. I started that strife. My bad. Yes, David. Shh.
How do I tell an important conflict from a non-important one?
Oh, that's a very good question. A very good question. It takes a lot of, you need to ask yourself a lot of questions. Because we mentioned, sometimes conflict is necessary, right? And we're not saying in this that avoid all conflict, run away from any conflict. Because Jesus didn't do that, did he? I mean, there's many times where he stood up against the Pharisees and confronted them to their face. And so when we're asking, is this an unimportant conflict or an important conflict?
How do I know when?
Yeah.
When it's like, when the conflict is important enough to go to that person?
Yes. Well, I say, number one, if there's sin involved, right? So if someone is in sin, what does the Bible tell us to do? To go to that person and to speak to them, to confront that lovingly. So if there's sin in someone else's life that needs to be confronted, the loving thing for us to do is actually go and talk to them about that, right? An unimportant conflict is something that I'm desiring, I'm wanting. It's more self-focused, right? It's not centered in love, but it's centered in selfishness, right? And so that would be something I need to steer clear of. But if it's coming from a place of love, whether that's helping someone else or confronting a sin that needs to be confronted, then the Bible says yes. I mean, that's the most loving thing to do in that situation. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Like if someone says something about your family, stick up for them because they're your family.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to a degree to get into an argument with them.
Yeah, and it depends on how you do it,
yeah.
Too, right?
You go back to listening. And
absolutely.
Think on that and say, okay, is this true? Is this loving?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the right time?
Mm-hmm.
And then defend your family.
Absolutely.
You don't want to just say, yeah, whatever, and
right.
Make
That's a good way of looking at it too. Yeah, like if you're wondering how to, if you're standing up from someone, how do you do it? You go back to the speech, right? And you ask, is it true? Is it the right time? Am I doing it the right way? Because that's good to defend someone if someone is being gossiped about or someone is being misrepresented, to be able to speak truth in that situation. But there's wrong ways of doing that too, right? If someone's talking bad about your family and you're like, well, your family is like this, right? That's not what you want to do, right? Or you mock them, or you...
Just make a counter example of, say, what they said, and then
yeah.
Negate it. So, like, no, my family is not that. My family is this.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to make sure it's coming from a place of love, right? Both for your family and for that other person, right? You're not seeking to put them in their place, but you're seeking to speak truth into the situation and show love. And you can do that. You can confront and stand firm in a very loving, calm, even way, right? Where you don't have to get heated, you don't have to raise your voice or anything like that. You can be strong and firm in your speech and yet still be controlled and careful.
No, Jared, my family's amazing.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the best ways to stop an argument, even sometimes before it happens, is to politely ask what the reason is to believe or do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, because then you're getting to the heart of the issue, right? And a lot of arguments don't do that. You're just lobbing shots at each other. Yeah.
And when you ask them like that, normally they just want to get at you, and they don't actually have reason. And then
right.
They're like,
okay,
I don't have to get mad.
Yeah.
Just because they are.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You prove them wrong without actually.
Right, and without necessarily seeking to put them down in response, right? We saw in our speech, a lesson on speech, right? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, right? So if there's wrath, there's strife, it's a soft answer. That could be confrontation. That could be defending someone else in a soft and measured and careful way. There's good conflict, there's unnecessary conflict, and really, if you do want to know the difference between the two, like, really, look at the life of Jesus, because he had both. He had times where he stood up and he spoke truth boldly, and there's other times when he was maligned and he was mocked that he just didn't respond, right? He trusted his Father. And so, how do I know the difference? Sometimes, what does that take? It takes wisdom. And that's what this whole series is about. Growing in wisdom. We're going from inexperience, simplicity, to wisdom and prudence. And that's a process. You know, I I haven't mastered this by a long shot yet, but I want to. I want to please the Lord in this, and I hope you do too. So, fighting, how to avoid it, and how to discern when to speak up and when not. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. God, give us wisdom. You say in your word that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. We thank you, Lord, that you're the source of wisdom. You're the source of truth. Lord, as we look at the fighting, the contentions in our lives, sometimes, Lord, not always, but sometimes, we can draw a line from that strife to greed in our hearts, or hatred, or anger, or gossip, or mockery. Lord, I pray that you would, if we see that in our lives, that we need to change, I pray that we'd bring those to you. That we would ask for your grace to help us grow in those areas. Lord, if there's anyone here that has a relationship currently that is defined by strife, and maybe that wall has been built around them, I pray, Lord, that you might give them the grace to start healing that relationship and start taking down those bricks to restore that relationship with that other person. Lord, help us to be defined by love. That as Luke said, if someone were to walk in our midst, you'd see a group that loves each other, cares for one another, that doesn't talk about each other behind our backs, but doesn't mock each other, isn't characterized by hatred or greed or anger, but is characterized by your Son. So you love others selflessly and sacrificially. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.